Philip Pricey for the Youngstown State University's Oral History Program for December the 17th, 1982. And today I'll be talking about the Pyatt Street Market, which is in Youngstown, Ohio. I'm interviewing Joe Rahosky concerning the Pyatt Street Market. First of all, Joe, would you explain a little bit about where you grew up and your background?
Well, my name's Joe Rahosky. I was born in the city of Youngstown, the 10th of February, 1929, one of those Depression babies. I was born on 1017 Erie Street, on the corner of Erie and Pyatt, right across the street from Pyatt Street Market. I attended Garfield Elementary School. From there, I attended the parochial school at St. Cyril's and Methodius on Watt and Wood Street. There we went to James Hillman Junior High, then on to South High, where I quit school and went into the service.
Were you in World War II?
I went in 1948 in the occupation of Germany.
Then you returned here?
I returned in the United States, reenlisted, and went over seized the Korean War. I was in the 2nd Infantry Division, 23rd Regiment.
First of all, could you tell me the location of Pyatt Street Market?
The location of Pyatt Street Market is on the south side. It's off of Pyatt runs off Market Street and extends from Lois Court all the way to Erie Street. From Pyatt back to Wayne Avenue. You have all your wholesale distributors there. You have the farmer's market and retail market.
When did you first go to work at the Pyatt Street Market in Brooklyn?
I think I went to work on the Pyatt Street Market when I was 7 years old in the first grade of school. We shelled peas and sold for retail, sold fruits and vegetables, potatoes, to retail customers.
You know when the market was originally open?
Before my time. I know it's been there. Mm-hmm. I guess it was open in the early 1900s. And as far as I know, the Shiptons always managed it. When they sold the market, just the past year and a half, Mary Kensel, a farmer that's located out in Salem, had controlling interest.
Okay. What was the importance of the market? In other words, today you don't have, you have refrigeration and you have a lot of things and product. In that respect, what was the situation when you went to work in the market?
The situation when we grew up around the market was that the farmers had an outlet for selling their merchandise to wholesale distributors that were there at the market at all times. They had market days 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, where they could bring in their goods that was homegrown and sell it to the retailers, and you'd have your wholesale and retail market right there. One side of it was wholesale, the other side was retail. And this was fresh vegetables, produce, meat. There was a meat market there, a farmer's meat market, where they baked the most delicious apricot pies you ever want to taste. And the crust on them pies were delicious. Plus they had donuts. And a number of consumers, smoked sausage, pork, mainly in the old days, where everybody raised pigs in the area and done their own smoking.
Was it a seasonal market, or was it open year-round?
It was seasonal, but they had year-round, too, on your retail market. And you had wholesalers where, say, your seasons mostly dealt in your winter months, mostly dealt with your roots, like potatoes, onions, carrots, parsnips, turnips, something that would keep all year round. Apples.
If you were to stand at the beginning of Pyatt Street and you look down, could you identify the companies and where they were located in terms of?
Oh yes, I probably worked for most of them at one time or another. There was too many retailers and too many farmers there, but at one time I used to know most of the farmers and most of the retailers and the wholesalers. Coming down, looking down from Market downward, as far back as I could remember, your wholesalers started with Joe Feldman. Produce, when he started in old horse and buggy days, he had one horse and a wagon. I think most of us around the neighborhood worked for him because he was the biggest at that particular time. He grew. And there, next to him, was Shevlin Produce. Louis Shevlin was the owner. And his son helped him. Then there was Zadel Frank, and he was in partners with Snyderman Brothers. And there was Zadel, he was another wholesaler, the distributor, went to Pittsburgh every day and brought in a load every day to send a day to customers. You had Dalton Produce, which the son, Stanley Dalton, was a salesman. And I'd worked for Dalton and Shevlin. Then you had Ohio Fruit, which was Irv Handler at the time. And then Handler later on went out of the produce business and until the roofing and siding business, auto seat cover company. Then you had your Youngstown grape distributors, Itz Goldberg. He was considered the live wire in Youngstown. He handled more produce than anybody I knew on a wholesale basis. One day he was broke, and the next day he made. This is how it went in the old days. And you had Aaron Cohn. He was about the biggest guy on the market, I mean in size and weight. And you had another person besides Itz Goldberg, who ran the Youngstown Grape Distributors, is Louis Goldberg. Itz was brother. He had a wholesale. He hauled from Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Hartville, Ohio. He hauled from the farms, delivered to A&P Warehouse, which was located on Hubbard Road. They'd done a terrific business. A&P in the old days was the Red Rooster in town. They were the biggest supermarket chain in the Youngstown area. Now there's none.
What were the locations of the stores? Were they like Kroger's?
Right, well, and all of them. Yeah, you had your A&Ps, which were the biggest in town, and Kroger's were the second biggest, and they had the little corner markets, the green stores. Kroger was noted for painting their stores green at that time, old wooden thing. They had coffee stacked up, and they specialized in coffee and then fruits and vegetables. But as far as the groceries, your grocery stores didn't carry that much of a line in those days because everything was fresh. In the summertime, the Pyatt Street Market used to be so packed, and the traffic was so great, you couldn't even walk on the street. You had to run through traffic and walk, and then on the market, and it's, I guess, about 200 yards long, that you walked elbow to elbow because of the business. They used to come from all over town and out of town just to do their shopping there.
How many people would you guess roughly were able to get into that area?
I'd say you had, at your peak, business, and I've seen it run from 7 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'd say you had, in one area, 2,000 people just shopping there at one particular time or more. And besides this, all the kids that grew up around there, they had jobs. You know, they wasn't paying much. Maybe they'd make 10 cents or 15 cents or a quarter all day long. Shelling peas, lima beans, and quarts may have paid maybe 1 penny a quarter, 2 pennies a quarter.
How much could you make on a good day working the market?
Well, in them days, if you made a quarter, you was rich. Because my brother, he's about 4 or 5 years older. We worked all day unloading a truckload of cantaloupes one time. He made 15 cents, and I made a quarter. And you want to see somebody mad, you usually see my brother.
Did we cover most of the major people who were in the market?
No. You had... Over on the farmer's side of the market, you had other wholesalers that didn't have wholesale houses, but they were wholesale from other towns. You had Phil Spollett, Spollett Pros. You had Minio. Minio and Sons, Sam Minio, you had Joe Colm, you had the Scott brothers from Sharon, Pennsylvania, I.E. Helfman and Sons from Sharon, Pennsylvania used to come over, and you had downtown, you had the Rosenblum brothers, which were one of the biggest in the downtown area. You had Al Franken Sons, which were located on Front Street, were the Hollander Company is now located.
But do they operate out of the Pyatt area, or were they just supplied to the
They sometimes hauled up to the market and had a stand there to sell their wares on market days. Plus you had Matt Mercurio. He was a jobber downtown. His building is now demolished, but he just across the street from the R&G Cigar Company, up by the old Hotel Ohio. You had a lot of farmers from the Hartville area, Kent area. This was their area, and they used to bring in truckloads on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They would sell to the wholesale houses, also to the retail customers that came and shopped at the market. Bill Fite, Hardwick, Allman, Graber. These are the bigger farmers. You had Mary Kensel. You had, there's so many of them. I could go on all day. There must be 100 farmers there. That displayed their wares and sold them, and this is in all categories from nuts to apples.
How far in those days did they truck it in, considering there's no refrigeration?
Well, they trucked it in from an area, I'd say from 75 miles, because you had Herman Balder from Ashton Jewel used to come in. Had North Lima, as far as away as Pennsylvania, in Linesville, Pennsylvania. We had Farmers Hall in there where it's Landover, Ohio. But in them days, you had the old-time trucks. You know, they hauled maybe 100 bags of potatoes, and this was their limit.
How long was the market open? What was the season for the market? I mean, I know we talked about it being all year, but I mean, in real terms, the big...
Well, the biggest part is when your vegetables come in season, like, say, early spring, as soon as you got your spinach, your greens, you know, and then all summer up until the last of September, where all your homegrown stuff, your vegetables, and on into October, where you have your winter supplies. Like in the old days, people used to buy their winter potatoes, buy 300-400 pound of potatoes to last them the winter. And this is what they did. They kept them in their coal cellars where it was cold. Their wine cellar, either one.
Considering the Youngstown had quite a variety of different languages, how did everybody interact? I mean, was there...
Well, they got along good together. Occasionally you had a squabble, you know, but not much. And in those days, it wasn't fast like it as it is today. Everybody walked around at their leisure, stood there 3-4 hours, talked and shopped, and tried to get the best buys to take home because there wasn't that much money around.
You worked in the market about from when to approximately when?
Well, like I say, when I was 7 years old, I'm 53 now, so I've been working in either produce or groceries all my life.
But I mean, as far as
outside of the service time.
In working in the market itself, how long did you work?
Working in the market, I worked there from seven, when I was 7 years old, about 36 to 48. Then from 48, went into service until 53. 53, I came back and went back to work at the market.
Did the market decline during that period of time?
The retail end of it declined. The wholesale end of it increased when your supermarkets came into being. In other words, the wholesale houses went in as distributors. They serviced people, the customers. They serviced the corner stores. They serviced the supermarkets. Once the supermarket got so big, they broke away from these wholesale houses and opened their own. After that, then the business declined a little bit because of the supermarkets. And right now, if the wholesale houses don't have a big supermarket chain or a chain of supermarkets, then they're into the restaurant business now, hotel business, servicing them. And then even now your big restaurant chain is all a conglomerate.
When I was mentioning about the land, I didn't mean in terms of problems per se, but like since not everybody spoke the same language, you know, like because of the diverse groups that were present in Youngstown. How did they communicate? I guess is basically what it's trying to get at.
Well, I'll tell you, in the old days, the older people, used to speak 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 languages. My mother, you know, she came from the old country, and she used to speak 7 languages.
So that wasn't really a problem as far as them trying to dick her or do whatever.
No, there was no problem. The only problem was, did they have the money to buy it, and they dickered to get it down where they could afford it.
Did the market service some of the downtown establishments and businesses?
The market, oh yeah, they came from all over town. All your retailers used to come up Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to buy from the farmers. And they bought from the wholesalers because other than your fresh fruits and vegetables that were in season in this area, you still had to get your Florida oranges, your California oranges, your iceberg lettuce, which only California knows how to grow, that would keep your plums, your peaches, you know, that come from the south, your watermelons.
Did you personally make any deliveries downtown? Did you service any?
Oh, I used to go out of town. I used to go all over and haul the produce in from the farms. I used to haul watermelons out of Evansville, Indiana. Peaches out of Michigan, tomatoes and roots out of New York, apples, peaches out of New York State, onions, cabbage out of New York State in season. We used to go all over Jamestown, New York, haul potatoes, Lyonsville, Pennsylvania, haul potatoes.
But I mean, what did you, for any of the company that you worked for, did you personally either deliver, make deliveries?
In the old days, I delivered every store in Youngstown. Niles, Warren, all the way down the river into Steubenville, West Virginia.
What was the number and, I guess, location of the markets that you serviced downtown? What stores were there?
Well, you had downtown, now this is downtown.
Yeah.
You had Rowley Brothers that were one of the biggest downtown. You had Public Market. You had Potts Market downtown. You had a lot of corner stands down on Watts Street, down in East End, which is all now demolished. You had the Sisman Market downtown, Olds Market downtown. Oh, there were numerous just in the downtown area, and these were all located on Federal Street. Besides your big restaurants like Brass Rail, you service them, Blue Ribbon.
Now, were these regular, like restaurants as we know them today, or were they specialty restaurants?
Well, these are like in the old days, they had the big bar, right? And they had some big places downtown. Brass Rail was pretty big. The Blue Ribbon was pretty big.
But I mean, was it like, let's say, like Italian food or Hungarian food, or was it, I mean, was it a specialty type of restaurant, or was
you
it?
You had, these here were the bigger. Now, you had your specialty restaurants downtown. Like, you had, Ambrosio, that was Italian foods. You had Rudy Brothers that specialized in Italian foods and fresh fruits and vegetables. They also had their own farm where they grow their own fresh vegetables. You had ethnic places downtown where they specialized in Hungarian foods. You know, then you had Jewish delicatessens downtown where they specialized in rye bread, Jewish rye, corned beef, bagels. And we used to go down and have a bagel now and then with butter, fresh butter.
Since you mentioned the deli, could you identify who, you know, where they were and how many there were and so forth?
Well, I would say right down in one area, and usually was like in a family group. They used to have two, and this is on the east end of Federal Street by Watts Street, which now the post office is located there. And you used to have, I think the Freedman's there. They used to have four delicatessens right in one area where if you can't, one specialized in one thing, the other specialized in
But they were mainly located where the present post office. That was
right down in that area.
And there were like four or five?
All the delicatessens were together.
Now, did they buy produce from the market? I mean, did you deliver them?
They didn't have any produce. They didn't specialize
in produce. They were just strictly deli.
Strictly deli. In other words, they specialized in bread and bagels and hot rolls.
The Olds Market, you said you made deliveries there. Where was the building and what does it look like to best your recollection?
Ooh, Olds was down on by Public Market, across the street, you know, on the same side of the street there was there. They specialized mostly in meat, and then later they opened a produce market in there, meat and produce and a few dairy items, the cheeses and that. But primarily, their biggest seller was meat, and they catered to the customers, and you had to pick your number and wait in line.
First of all, I'm not familiar. Was the old Public Market where that small one isn't across the City Hall, or was it someplace else?
The old Public Market was located right off the square next to the People's Bank and Brass Rail. It was across the street from the Blue Ribbon and Woolley Brothers Market downtown. And Sam Solomon. Sam Solomon owned the market, and he was very particular in the produce that he sold down there. If you went downtown, you would never see a display now as they had in those days, because the whole store was mostly all produce. I mean, he had a mass display and done the business.
During the Second World War, I understand there was a limit on the amount of food that was able to be purchased. Can you comment on the situation as it existed here?
Well, I could comment because I seen it. I was there. I seen it happen. I can give you broad generalities of it. In other words, you were a customer. And onions were scarce, and they had the OPA limit price of $8 a bag, which you couldn't charge over that, and they did black market onions. Then, in order for the wholesaler to get his money, he charged the limit $8. And for every bag of onions, he'd sell you a basket of carrots that sold for 50 cents regular, and he'd charge you $3 for it. And this pertained to any item, lettuce out of California, and it was scarce.
Who set the local limit on what you could purchase? You mentioned Office of Pricing, the OPA, Office of Price Administration. Were there policemen or something that monitored who was trying? I mean, did they try? Did have somebody that?
No, there was no police action as such. But you had people that came in and checked your books periodically to see that your prices met, you know, the OPA standards. In other words, you couldn't overcharge. It's just like the day, supply and demand. If the supply is short, you go to the supermarket today, they don't have no price restrictions. At one time, you could buy lettuce for 29 cents a head. And then the next time, when they're changing seasons and growing valleys in California, and they're in between seasons, then you're paying $1.29 a head for the same head of lettuce. So we're talking a dollar difference a head. And in those days, when you had restrictions, the only way the wholesaler could make this up, he paid the farmer, or the guy at the other end, he paid him cash. He didn't have it on the book. And, but when he sold it, he had to put down what he sold it for.
So the only real monitoring they had was to check your book. And that was done by the local OPA?
Right.
Or was that done by Treasury or somebody else?
Well, I wouldn't know, but they had people that came around and come in the office and we want to inspect your books.
You know,
I guess they had the authority at that time.
You know who the local OPA official was that had?
I wouldn't know the local man. Head of the OPA in the state of Ohio at one time, I think, was a former governor, Mike Cassell.
Is there any aspect of the market I haven't covered that possibly is important to understand the significance of the market itself?
Well, the way that I understand it, this was an outlet for growers, shippers, retail, and it was a way of life at that time where people came from all over town and was able to do all their shopping in one place where you didn't have, like, your corner stores, they didn't do the business. They had lunch meats and a few groceries, and they didn't carry the fresh fruits and vegetables because they were so highly perishable. They didn't have refrigeration in those days at your corner supermarkets. They had a little refrigerator or an ice box that you had to put ice in daily. And this, they kept for their milk and highly perishable products, meat and produce that didn't pay to refrigerate that in those days.
You mentioned that sometimes, I think it was Mr. Goldberg, used to keep produce for storage. How were they able to store? You mean, were you talking about like pears or something that you could keep for a while, or what would you store?
No, they had coolers in those days, old ammonia coolers. But they didn't have big capacities. And the stuff in those days moved faster at the wholesale level. I can recall in canning season, that they had pickles, peaches especially, where maybe you'd have 5,000 bushel peaches come in. And what they did, just unloaded them on the flat surface. They didn't even have... didn't even keep them in a warehouse. They just open air, unloaded them, and sold them.
What is an ammonia freezer?
Well, this is a refrigeration system that you have to have ammonia in there to cool the lines.
Like Freon, except the
Freon, right. You have Freon now, where it's a lot safer. And this refrigeration system is, in those days, you know, it was a little complicated. They didn't have the techniques and machinery that they have today. The knowledge. You know.
What was the refrigeration process during that period of time?
Well,
in
the winter time, you had no refrigeration in the winter time. What you did, when it was a freezing temperature outside, you had a charcoal burner, a stove within a stove that you put in a truck and lit to keep the merchandise from freezing. And this is the way you hold it in. They use these here systems not only in trucks and trailers, where you had a fire going all the time back there, but they also use it in boxcars where they ship from Idaho, say Idaho potatoes, and they still had problems where the bottom layers might freeze because your charcoal heaters went out or weren't burning, they went off. And in the summer months, like your trailers, you didn't have no refrigeration on those small trucks at all because they had tarps, state body trucks, open air trucks. But on your trailers, you had bunkers. And in these bunkers, you packed blocks of ice. And you had a little putt-putt motor to describe like a fan that would turn these fans and blow the cold, moist air over the truck where it was circulating in the truck. When the ice melted, you had to go and stop, and they had these ice houses clear across the country where you could buy blocks of ice.
Okay. One thing we really didn't talk about was packing houses in Youngstown.
Well, the packing houses, you didn't have very many. You had a few of your meat packing houses, but as far as produce packing houses, I don't recall of any. They might repack, you know, a few items, but as far as a wholesale repacking, you never had any in Youngstown.
Was the reason for that, as you mentioned, some of the stores were specialty and they took care of their own meat, they had their own meats?
That's right. You had a lot of meat stores like Tots downtown that had their own smokehouses and smoked it out on the farm and brought it in. They had butchered their own meat and hauled it in from their farm or like it was an ethnic group. They might use their uncle's farm or their cousin's farm and do it there.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking time this morning to fill me in with what was going on with the Plaskett Market. Thank you very much. One thing I forgot to mention or ask you that I should follow up with is where did you live at that time?
Well, I lived on Erie Street, and it was directly across the street from the farmers market. These were all the wholesale farmers. My mother owned a restaurant for 28 years there, right? And all the farmers used to come over and eat. And she had beer and wine, food, specialized in food. And I can remember that on Friday, all the Jewish people used to come over. And she used to make a fried fish haddock sandwich that was out of this world. And every Friday when Jewish peoples come over, she says, you know what, I'm going to make Catholics at all.